That was a very bizarre human. Walking behind him, he had his headphones in, which I assume there was music playing. He might have just been in the zone.
No, I think there was music playing, just the way that he was pausing in between, you know.
Yeah, like he was singing along to it. And timing. He was, screeching it out
loud.
What
street were in there? We're on the way to Darling Harbour for our...
It was one of the main
streets
leading up there, just off Central Station.
About 6 p.m.
And you know that...
Monday night.
You're being loud and obnoxious when even Asian people in the street are turning around going, oh, what's going on? Like, because they ignore everything.
That's what surprised me, that so many people did actually stop and look, because I'm like, isn't this par for the course in Sydney? Like, isn't this just... selective hearing,
but maybe it was the use of the N-word.
Yeah, that does alert people to their senses, especially niggers. It was something like that. Yeah. It was in a bar. I couldn't believe it anyway. I couldn't believe my ears.
Actually, I had a thought recently in relation to the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because somebody was making fun of Italians. And the slur for an Italian is spaghetti nigger.
Which I've never heard that.
Very funny. But it did make me go, oh, this is... it's bad. Your word must be bad when it like goes across, like across genres, across races. Because there's sand nigger, there's spaghetti nigger, and it's then the base one. It genuinely made me go, ah, fuck, I'm gonna.
Well, you could just be like a kangaroo nigger. How much impact is taken away when you add just a descriptive word, an adjective onto it? You know.
It proves how heavy the original is, which is great for jokes, I think, but
not great for screaming in the streets of Sydney at 6 p.m. on ideal. Monday. No, just channel those energies elsewhere. He had a decent voice. That's not what I'm making.
Strong.
That's not. Yeah, that's right. He could project.
Yeah, it carried.
But that's not what I'm commenting on. You know.
I'm glad we just kept going. Didn't associate with it.
He was a bit of a beacon for me. I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to see if he was going to get hit by a car or just attack somebody. I don't know.
What does he do? Does he just go home? Does he do an on-call before? Like, does he get to his door?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Where was he going?
You know, when you get home and you're like, I'm just going to listen to the rest of this song. Did he do that? Like, he's outside an apartment building or just like some sort of community housing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm fucking... There's a minute and a half of this and this is building up. Like, this last 30 seconds is about to fucking drop. So I'm going to stick around.
I'm glad we didn't follow long enough to find out.
We did the right thing. We looked at the right thing. Had a delicious dinner. That's the way... I like my direction of life and not his.
Big Rick got 18 cream puffs from Chinatown.
That's right.
Eating like a champion.
Congratulations. Team Judd once again.
that's three from three.
Yep, doing very, very well. Actually, all right, so before we get into it, welcome to Unpleasant with Adam and Milk. I am Milk, the Kanye West of the Riverina, the Steady Eddie of Wagga Wagga, here to help you see the light when it comes to reality and... how much people just get away with being...
unacceptable.
Yeah.
Socially unacceptable.
Being garbage.
Negative.
Yes. And we just sort of let them get away with it. And so beside me is five-star Adam Jacobson here to help us out.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate the introduction. I just hate oxygen thieves, that's all.
And classic.
Yeah, it sums it up. I remember the first time I heard that I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
They are just stealing oxygen. Leeches, vampires.
You're right. I did discount it a little bit too quick. Yeah. Because it's one of those ones I've just heard it. Obviously heard it at a younger age. Yeah. So it's just kind of like in my...
It's had a peak in... Like I just heard Spaghetti Nigger for the first time. I only heard Oxygen Thief when I was in my teens.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's brilliant.
It is. Like, oh, that's it. I've just discredited it because I'm used to it. But where is it? When you actually look at it... Yeah, these are just people use... That's a precious commodity. That's what... What do you think global warming's about? Because there's not enough fucking air. They're talking about carbon dioxide, talking about polar caps melting by 2013, which it's terrible. Since everything's risen to the levels from our... Since everything's risen to the levels predicted by Al Gore in his 2006, 2007 film... And the world has ended, and we live in one of the
convenient truth. What do you think of my Al Gore?
That's not bad.
Thank you.
It sounds like he's got an inconvenient tooth.
Oh, go on now.
I don't know. I'm just that's panic buttons.
That's panic wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah,
in podcast form.
So, very very disappointed. We live in one of the few. Areas of dry land left. So we've got to look after the oxygen that we do have. And so we strongly advise that if you see anybody who you just out of your own preference, we're not going to tell you who, I just sort of go, don't think these people deserve it. I want you to choke them out, put them on the ground, and you don't kill them yourself. But just put a plastic bag over their head, rubber band around the neck, you're fine. You just let them
go. And then jog on. Maybe we should get Kill Oxygen Thieves on a t-shirt. Trademark. Adam Milk.
Trademark 5-star. Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I mean, Hollywood Adam Jacobson.
But you're right, it's not as funny as calling someone a pencil head or something, is it?
Yeah. It's a good. It's still very, very good. Mm. I like it. So we've got the show up a little bit late this weekend, which is, I think it's good because you don't want to adhere to this. Like, why do you have to adhere to a schedule? The reason you adhere to a schedule when it comes to entertainment is because of, originally radio broadcast. So people knew when to tune in, but people didn't really tune in specifically for a thing. A peak hour was just given to the most popular program.
Yeah, exactly. So most people happened to tune in at this hour because that was the end of, picking cotton or whatever they were doing at the time. Oh, I don't know.
They didn't have radio.
Cotton, hay, just standard labor jobs from back then.
Yeah.
So
And then when TV came in, people got together and watched a program that they enjoyed, which they still do now, but it's on demand. Nobody sits down. Maybe Game of Thrones. Maybe.
What about Love Island? That seems to be pretty fucking popular.
Yeah, I've heard...
With pencil heads.
Whisperings of that.
We'll keep it at that for now.
I think most people like that to make fun of it, just to like look at the freaks.
I don't know, though.
I don't know.
That's a front.
It's weird.
That's like American barbershops.
It's something I can't comprehend it.
Yeah.
But it has to be. It has to be like the freaks. It has to be because that's what all of those shows are, all of the reality shows. It's going, I can't believe this person did it and also did that in front of a camera, in front of, whatever the audience size is. And on permanent record too.
Yeah, exactly. I guess they could just pass it off and say, it was scripted. But then they ruin the illusion. Maybe they have to sign something. I'm interested.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's like
I'm semi-interested in the process.
It's I remember the first series of the Australian Big Brother, and that was the most popular one. But when they got everyone into the house and they started to figure out what they could do and all that, second season rolls around. And you start noticing, you're like, oh, this is a parallel of that character and this one here. And then the third season came around and you go, okay, you've just gone all dickheads. this is now specifically creating tension and drama with people who that's what they live for. So it's they're selected to be freaks.
Yeah, spectacles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
testicles. yeah, so there's but yeah, there's freaks. Do you remember Curb Your Enthusiasm, the freak book?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Now, this is
I started buying freak books after that scene.
Because it's affected amazing.
Me so much. Okay. It's so right, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Just because... Okay, so the joke being Larry bought an old school freak book, which is, you know, the two-headed man, eight-legged...
Yeah.
Medical freak
thing. Pass it off as a medical Marvel book back then, but it was a freak book.
Yeah, it's just like the Traveling Sideshow.
Mm.
And the whole thing was he gave it as a gift and they were like, oh, I don't know. And they kind of put it away. And then he's just sitting there with his friend going, ah, look at the freak. Ah! And, you know, he is like, he's the bad guy for doing that. That's and, you know, everyone laughs because, and Larry puts himself in those position of the bad guy for the sake of the laugh. Which works great for the show, but it's an interesting little thing where you go, oh, yeah, everyone would react like that and go, oh, no, we don't. They shut all that sort of shit down, but you all go out and watch Big Brother and Love Island and you're doing the same thing. These are social freaks. They might not have deformities because you're too uncomfortable to laugh at that, which I'm not. I go out of my way. I sometimes deform people and then just return afterwards.
To stare at them.
Like, I've never fake laughed in my life, except for in front of people with deformities.
But you're right. They put them in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And they say, look at these stupid.
Yeah. That's, I can't comprehend that. I can't get around that idea of. People are just going to put you in a... They can. They can just put you in a position and just go, look at these freaks. Anyway. That was a bit off topic. There's a few things I wanted to talk about. Welcome to the show, Stav. Welcome back, mate.
Woo!
I'm glad you had a good week.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, good. Just sit in the pocket, mate. You'll fucking... We'll bring you in when we feel like it.
When we run out of shit.
Which is minutes away. No. All right. We've got a little check-in. I've got something we've got to address. So we've been keeping an eye on Ricky Gervais. Now, I'm all out. I don't...
you've signed off.
Yeah, I've turned. I'm going, nah, I don't... Not a fan anymore. And granted, he could still be funny, but I'm not willing to... Like, I'm...
You don't want to put the effort in.
Yeah.
You've seen enough to go, that's not worth my energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I think when you decide if something's funny pretty well ahead of time.
Yeah, reputation that precedes them in a way.
Yeah. Like when we tried to watch the Kevin James comedy thing, it might be funny half an hour in, but I'm just like, I just don't fucking
It wasn't.
But yeah, for the most part, I prejudge things. Yeah. And I just go into it with that. That's how it is.
Well, we're going to be so picky because it's fucking saturated.
Yeah, they just announced there was like 40 Netflix comedy specials coming out in like a month.
I don't have time to watch. Oh, I mean, I don't want to spend my time watching maybe more than one.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be 40 worth watching.
Fuck no. And this is it. We've been saying it for a long time that comedy's dead. Yeah. And I've got evidence to back it up. Now, not this part.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit, but we do have evidence, and it's related to the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez.
We're not turning on
No.
The Jones Jet of comedy, are we?
No, we are not. He's still,
I was going to say, I don't know, I might have to give it up.
He's still the only, one of the only ones that I still like and respect.
Yeah. Well, remember, it wasn't long ago that it was the Count Cumia.
That's true.
And then even before everything happened with Red Bar, he still loved it. He still had a lot of respect for the Count.
Yeah.
And look what happened. I mean, just nothing. Look, I don't want to...
You know.
I'm not saying anything about the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, but...
No. He could do anything and he would graciously accept anyone making fun of him for it. If it was funny, he's totally okay with it. That's why I like him. He's like, it's funny. Because he lives in reality still.
And
because
he's a big cocked Puerto Rican.
No, it's tiny.
Is it really?
Yeah. Very small penis.
Interesting. Even more interesting.
But yeah, like he understands though that he's like a character. He knows that he knows that Legion of Skanks is funny because he's crazy and just goes in there and just he's just going to live his life.
He's like Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, yeah.
In
but,
a way.
But way better and more entertaining. I'd rather hang out with Lewis than Johnny Knoxville any day of the week.
But it's a similar role within what they worked in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So within Jackass, Johnny Knoxville, I mean, he knows he's that.
Yeah, he's the key figure.
Yeah.
And the most sort of relatable one.
Yeah. But he's still got to shoulder a fair bit of the...
That's right, yeah.
It's mostly on him.
Yeah, he's got the... Yeah. It was him and Jeff Tremaine, the director, who were the steering forces behind those things. No, you're absolutely right.
And it was like you said the other day, you found Ari Shaffir was on Legion of Skanks. All the regulars, no Louis J. Gomez, no Milk.
No, I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
No. Or just need to hear Big Jew fucking... Yeah, sorry. Big Jew knows is what I meant to say. Ari Shaffir going, I did mushrooms for a few weeks in Scotland. Oh, it's really fucking cool. Oh, fucking. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever fucked in a tent? I did. It was gross. Okay, you're fucking. I don't want to hear about you and your fucking disgusting
body.
Yeah, it's just
disgusting
gross.
Jew body.
And weird, and everyone acting like he's really cool because he was in like Asia for a few months. People do that all the fucking time.
Exactly.
You freaks.
A lot of people went there against their will for months at a time. He went over there and did drugs. Amazing.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. A lot of people won't know what we're talking about there. Yes. If you've heard those things, you know. But anyway.
I didn't think of that.
We did have a little word spoken to me about all the NRL talk last week, which... turned people off. Was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. Anyway.
Oh, really? You had a message?
Just a little something got back to me.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, not too bad. But you got to remember, you're just come along with us. If it's called unpleasant. If there's an unpleasant part, just hold our hand. Hold our hands. Me and Adam are holding hands right now. We've been holding hands from the beginning. That's part of the show. I don't know why you think anything else was going on.
We've got two hands each.
So, and we're both locked. So, take our hand, come with us over that part because it's going to be worth it. Because this is then when you're familiar enough with the topic, that's when we can. That's when we can get into the stuff that we can make fun of. Later on, this like that wasn't the bit. The bit is ongoing. This is going to go on for months.
You'll hear a lot of introductions as we start to identify things that can be welcomed into the universe.
That's it. You've got to think about it as the universe. Like that freak doctor did with all those rat experiments. You know, he's like a he did that. They were all
Joseph Fritzl.
Mangala.
Fuck.
I know what you meant.
You know what I mean.
he was a good man.
Who, Joseph Fritzl?
Yeah, Joseph Fritzl. He was a very good man. I don't know.
Fritzmeister General. Sorry, mate. I was throwing him under the bus.
He's a good family man and they've tarnished his reputation.
A great internationalist.
Think about it. So this guy, I can't remember the cunt's name. Doesn't matter.
Freak GP.
Yeah, he would, you know, put a bunch of rats in an area and then you would experiment. At the beginning, it was just a limited amount of food and it would be cycled in and then he would cut it off and just sort of see what would happen in this little... And it was called Universe One, was the first one. And very quickly, all the rats turn, and then the kind of the ones that they observed with, they say, more intelligent behavior. I don't know how the fuck you identify that, but they say that, you know, they kind of erred off to the edges and kept away from the fighting for as like long as possible and sort of kept their heads down and kept everything going. But the more aggressive rats sort of tore each other apart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they ended up doing like hundreds and hundreds of versions of this where they'd have a universe where, which you would call, because that was it. There was nothing. Everything that the rats needed was inside that universe. So they'd have like an area for them for activities and things, food, stuff like that. That's where they did the experiments with cocaine, where they're like,
yeah.
If there is no, if they, they, nothing to do but lots of cocaine, they'll do all the cocaine. But if there's plenty to do and keep them busy, they go over, do a little bit, then they
get some jobs done.
Yeah. But they don't. And then, yeah, that's where all those experiments came from. So you've got to think of these things as the universe. They don't once we are introduced in, they can come up again. So if you might miss out on, you might be listening later on when we're doing something funny about rugby league and just going, I don't know, well, this isn't funny. Well, that's your fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
If you don't want to invest, then.
Of course. Again, though, we're not going to get it right all of the time. We're learning. We're going forward and we're making mistakes as we do. Anyway.
But also we like NRL, so.
Yeah, it's just part of, it's going to be part of the universe.
There's some very funny elements that we think deserve a bigger spotlight.
You have no idea how far we are going to go making fun of the NRL.
Despite a deep love for the game.
Yeah.
The NRL, the governing body.
That's it. We're not making fun of the sport. I think it's, I love it. Anyway, don't need to defend it.
I love Josh Hodgson. No, we'll go on. Yeah. Back to where we
are. We're going to get on to our man, Ricky Gervais. So, do you remember Ricky Gervais? We started going, this guy's a bit sus, putting up all the photos of himself, you know, with quotes around it, but they're specifically quotes from his last special. And then after that, like he'll be promoting that on his own Twitter, photos of himself, putting them up there, showing off how brilliant he is. And then he's talking about his belief in, non-belief in God and how much better he is and that sort of thing. And then he starts retweeting people who are complimenting his show. Now, that's an interesting thing in itself because you've got to understand that the people who are active users on Twitter are heroin addicts and attention is heroin. So when they see, he's retweeting people who are saying positive things about it, they might give it 4 stars. But they're going, that was amazing, we love this part. Retweet from Ricky Gervais, fucking 100 likes and things like that,
a few new followers.
That's like, why would you do that as a fucking like 50-year-old man? Just go, I'm gonna just do this,
yeah,
and that's okay,
and just you get a tiny little endorphin.
Yeah.
A shot of endorphin.
And he's encouraging it. Like, it's a fucking sickness.
Yeah.
Why? And they will all jump on and do the same thing we do, talk about the problems with social media or all that sort of shit. No. The problems aren't with social media. The problems are with you.
Exactly.
So.
It's like guns.
Yeah, guns, HIV. The problem is you. Okay? And you know who we're talking about.
Anal fishes. No.
Carp.
Sorry.
Okay, so this was, I don't know when this photo shoot was, but I'm looking at it. This is the first time I looked at it on the screen.
On the big Adam and Milk screen.
On the, Apple-sponsored, Joe Rogan paid-for screen. We have, I can tell it's very low budget.
Because
he's just, well, look at the lighting.
Yeah.
And that looks like shadow.
It's painted with watercolor.
He's literally just standing there. We're going to talk about this. He's doing the Christ position.
The crucifixion of Christ.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Good.
Jesus on the cross.
While I was talking before, Adam was just looking at the screen and shaking his head.
This is the first time I've ever looked at it for more than like 1.5 seconds.
Yeah, I showed you.
The more I take in.
Yeah, that's it. If there's something I want to bring to the show, I'll try not to show Adam until we're here so that it's all fresh. You don't want us looking at this going and just thinking back to the original thoughts that we had. Yeah. That's not a healthy way to do these things, I don't think. Especially when you've got, why would we do that? Anyway. Going to go off track and talk about how much I don't like Conan O'Brien. he's doing the crucifixion of Christ, and so he's got his mic stand. Now, Ricky Gervais doesn't use microphones. He uses the little ear ones that come
very,
down.
Very subtle.
Yeah, that come down. So he's got his hands free on stage to, I assume...
Overuse them.
Yeah, overuse them. I assume it's to grope women.
We've heard some things about Ricky, but
yeah.
Reason into it.
He's so he's got his arms out and the microphone stand is sort of wrapped. He's kind of wrapped his hands around it. You know how you can sort of like a piece of string wrapped around like a kebab skewer or something like that.
It's the points of contact on the microphone are the holy and the ghost.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
That's it.
Left and right.
Yeah.
And so he's got a crown of thorns with fake blood coming down his face and atheist written in fake blood across his chest.
Across his bare, filthy chest. Unimpressive.
Yeah, hairy. Now,
sucking in his sump.
I think people will remember that the term dad bod didn't exist about 10 years ago.
No.
And it's sort of been introduced into the collective consciousness recently by people who like to defend that sort of thing. We're not here to defend that.
No. Before that, they used to call him fat cunt. And now dad bod is like...
Oh, yeah. What the fuck? What the fuck are you talking about? So he's just wearing his terrible faded jean. Now, this is a mistake a lot of older men will make, where they'll buy a jean with pre-fades in the front. Mm. Now, I don't believe that there's a mistake so much in buying something that is affected by a trend. But, sorry, that's the exact opposite of what I was trying to say. You're buying something that is affected by the trend. So if you're into the, like, torn jeans, whatever, that's fine. If you're young, absolutely fine. Mm. Stick to that.
It's your time to shine.
But if you're an old man and a multi-millionaire at that, just buy a respectable pair of jeans, which are all one colour, and maybe buy them so that they sort of don't bunch up around your shoe at the bottom, because that's a very, like, I don't... It's a very basic thing, and this is where my sort of... I like to do things just because I can, when I learned that there are a lot of places on the planet where you're just not allowed to wear bright colours and you're not allowed to say certain things, and you can hear. I was going, well, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna take advantage of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can wear.
I'm gonna embrace it.
Yeah, so I started wearing a lot more colours, and I started to go, all right, well, I'm gonna start taking a little bit more pride in my appearance because I can. Not a lot of people have that.
You can afford to.
Yeah, they don't have that flexibility. And this man just goes, oh, no, it's fine. I'll just let a few inches of my jeans bunch up around the bottom of my shoe like a fucking savage. Like a savage in the jungle with a machete in his hand and his belt and his bunched up shoes. Terrible.
What's he doing with those millions?
So,
I even buy a pair of Levi's that fit probably.
This shadow is very, it's distracting me. This whole thing just looks very, very poor. I think he took this photo himself, maybe. because he's done it in front of
Stephen Merchant to take it.
No, they haven't spoken in years. And he's done it in front of a green screen because you can see a little bit of the colour bleed around the edges. So they've walked him out and they've done that. And they've even done so. I was raised Catholic, so I know a little bit about the crucifixion. And the whole point was, the part that I'm getting to is when Jesus was on the cross. Now, I'm just saying it in the context of the story. I'm not saying when he was. So he's up there and they're like, oh, I've got to check if he's dead. And a soldier put a spear into his side to see if he was still alive, and water drained out. I don't know what the fucking point of it. I don't understand. But they've actually gone and done that in the side.
Wow.
Here. He's put that effort in. No real scars on his body.
God, no. He's a fat office worker. Really?
Yeah.
He's an actor. I don't give a fuck about actors.
Nothing like that. So just further embarrassment from that man. Now, the reason I showed you that isn't because that wasn't the main part. What I wanted to show you was this.
Right.
That's a 53-year-old man taking a photo of his cat yawning And he goes, oh, it looks kind of like a kangaroo. And then he just puts fangaroo on it.
This man would probably class himself as the finest comedian on planet Earth, I would guess.
He thinks he's amazing. He thinks he's hilarious. That's a fucking joke that your dad says. He sends that to you and you go, yeah. Dad, why are you taking photos? He wouldn't be saying that because he's not a father. He's a 53-year-old childless man taking photos of his cat.
Yep.
And going, that's kind of funny. What the fuck is he doing? He must just put on a mask, put a big fake cock underneath his own and just fuck people. Because what the fuck is he doing with his time, really?
Yeah, especially with that much money.
I don't understand.
We know he's not spending enough time in the change room. We know that he's not raising strong boys.
I don't, because that's it. If you had kids, your kids would go, okay.
Can you not put that on Twitter, please?
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Mm. What are you doing?
Thank God my dad doesn't want a Facebook.
Mm.
No way. Wouldn't even consider it. Fantastic.
Good way.
Great attitude. I love it.
Checked into reality.
Yeah.
And that's why we like Luis J. Gomez, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, because he can abide by both. He can have both, where he'll live his life and he'll raise his little Puerto Rican boy and his unfunny comedian girlfriend, who he puts on his podcast all the time.
No, 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 no.
No, it's not a good idea.
Oh, sorry.
No, Adam, let's not be ridiculous. Women equals funny, so get over it.
Well, that's what Nanette proves, if anything.
That's right. And we will be addressing the Nanette situation. We know you're all excited about it.
Nanette Manoir, was that?
Angela Anaconda, I remember that show. High quality animation.
Well done, mate.
I enjoyed that just for the unique, not just for, but I enjoy the unique animation style.
It stood out to me.
Yeah.
I remember it.
That's it.
Everyone remembers it.
You've got to be a little bit outside the norm to be interesting at all.
Hmm.
So
to be original.
What I have to introduce to you, so we're going to be talking about another show, which is... I've talked about it before. It's called The Legion of Skanks, and I was going to show you something just to sort of get you familiar with the show, but I just can't find a good short clip. All of the bits that they have are either too long or they only highlight like one or two of the people.
Yeah.
Everyone was all blacks.
That- just some interference there.
That's very, very loud. Okay. So, I don't know who this other guy is on the show, but the three main people who are the Legion of Skanks is Luis J. Gomez, Big J. Okerson, and Dave Smith. Now, they're doing a show. They've got another comedian there, and there's a man sitting behind them wearing a Proud Boy hat. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Proud Boys, they've been identified as an alt-right hate group. But if you've already heard of that, I'm asking you to just put that aside and go come at it from where I've heard about these, this group and how it started.
From your alt-right friends, presumably.
That's right. Richard Spencer, trying to think of that other guy who does like a radio show himself. Very bizarre human. Mm. I was a fan. I guess I'm still a fan of Gavin McGingis. In his early days of his show on the Anthony Cumia network, he got taken to a rehearsal for the Hamilton musical. And before everyone started sucking the dick of the singer of one of the songs in the show, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Now, if you've heard of that name, that's because some people other than us decided that he's good and needs to be talked about. I've seen nothing. I don't know why is he a standout of all the people? Oh, because he's brown. Is it? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I've never heard of this individual.
I don't know anyone other than, oh, this guy is really good. What? He's just a singer in musicals.
Mm.
What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, has a song where he's talking to his mom or his dad or something like that, and he goes, I'll make you proud of your boy. And Gavin said he lost it. He fucking laughed his head off, and he would come on the show and talk about that.
Yeah.
And people would, when he'd take calls, and people would ring up and go, all right, thanks, Gavin. Proud of your boy. And he'd go, oh, proud of your boy. And, you know, turn into a theme. And then he started going, you know what, we need a, like this, and this went on for months. Then he started going, oh, you know, we need like a men's like organization, like a fraternity kind of thing, because men back in like the 80s used to have like groups. They used to have little things like, you know, the lodge meetings, yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, so he started doing that, and it turned into his Western chauvinist proud boy thing. But the name itself is a joke.
Mm.
Proud of your boy. It's a joke. Like, I don't understand. That's why... Anyone who joins it, I just go, okay, you're a bit of a fucking tool.
You're trying to hijack it, really, yeah, well, for something, in a way.
I think it's fair enough to like Gavin, but if you sign up to his organization, you go, all right, well, you immediately are not – you're just submitting. You're going, yeah. I'm less than, and I need to be – but I still want to be a part of it. I want
to be a part of it all.
That's very, very bizarre to me. So that was a joke. The whole thing, I don't understand how anyone could do that. Yeah. And take it seriously as a thing. There is here we go. Here we go. Now, this is an NYU professor. That's an NYU, like Gavin was doing. See, it's now he didn't do this speech for any other reason than they didn't want him to, really. He only went in there to talk about things. And see, now this fucking, this stuff makes me like Gavin, because, okay, so now imagine being an adult and going, you're proud, and getting emotional, saying the words, you're proud boys. That is the equivalent of me looking at you and going, you're a freckle-faced fart machine. And like thinking that that's like a real... thing.
Or like, something that's going to cut somebody.
Like, this is like, it's like a really identifying thing. Like, it's a joke. Come on. I can't remember exactly what Gavin said when he went in there, but because they were all protesting, he got maced on the walk in there too.
Yeah.
And so he's like, we need to talk about the three things. Now, this is as a joke. He went up there because they were all protesting and all the protesters were in there. Talk about the three things holding the American people back. The black, the woman, and the Jew. And that was and that's pretty funny. And like, it was obviously a joke, but he, you know, he waited a minute before he laughed. But he said that even the protesters were like, like, even they were. And then that proves.
Is it true? Yeah, they didn't really believe it.
Exactly.
They didn't believe he'd ever go that far to be actually openly racist. Yeah.
Exactly. That proves that you're not really there for a...
Exactly. You want it to kick off, but you don't really expect it to. Like,
I love the balls to do that. That's fucking funny. Because you should be able to, really, because nothing's happened. Like, when we were up in Sydney, I didn't see it, but I heard that on the way out of Sydney that you can, and from overhead, people on planes have seen this, an ISIS flag in someone's yard is visible.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a fan, personally.
I'm off.
Since they, they turned on me. I was going to make a joke about something, and I got nothing. not a fan of that at all. But this is where the water gets a bit muddy, because I go, is this the cost of a beautiful free society? Where we've got to allow that sort of thing. And I start to go, fuck, maybe we do. I don't like it, but I can't like every single thing about this. Yeah. Like, why should that be real?
It makes me very uncomfortable. But they haven't done a crime.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's sort of just, it's a pretty in-your-face vocal support.
Yeah.
But I feel I would weird if I had to go there and say, take that down. And
yeah.
Like, we haven't done anything. I mean, we're not going
to
do anything.
To me, it just, I think that's a very, like, it's a dumb thing to do because you're just making yourself a target.
You may as well paint a target on your house, exactly, for opposing groups.
Yeah, so very, very bizarre. So we've got that. So these are the Proud Boy situation. Now, Luis J. Gomez and the Legion of Skanks are sitting down. They're doing their show, and this happens. So the man, you'll hear Luis question this man. You'll hear Luis's voice going, "What the fuck are you doing?" Now that's Luis, and the main guy that you'll hear speaking in this clip is not a guest on this show. He's an audience member who is sitting behind them because they film this upstairs at a comedy club. So apparently he's an open mic comedian.
Moved here, this neighborhood was all blacks.
That's, by the way, that's true for every neighborhood in New York City.
Before we move on from the white supremacy,
this is the guy.
Jokes,
who the fuck are...
So before we move on from the white supremacy, that's the, as you would have guessed, that's the... man who is not invited.
The soy boy.
Yeah, I don't have that clip anymore, sadly.
Before we move on from the white supremacy jokes.
Who the fuck are you?
Is it no coincidence that a Proud Boy is sitting here behind us? Dude, is that really not surprising?
Don't take my fucking mic. Don't fucking grab the microphone, you jerk. Hey buddy, how about you suck my fucking dick? Grab my mic again, I'll put my foot up your ass.
Kicking off.
Yeah, so they, you know, apparently there's some pushing and shoving and on the way out of that. And it's still going on now. There's yelling in the backgrounds off mic. So this all happened live.
Yeah, this
it's
is
all
a broadcast live. Broadcast.
Now, I know there are some people here going, that's okay, that's weird, but that's sort of nothing. Now, I want to address something to... Go, okay, now you've got to remove your political leanings here because I don't see, I'm not putting the Proud Boy thing into any politics or any shit like that. This is just, because I think they're gay, personally, don't like them. But we need to talk about the incident of going, that you can just go into somebody's show, which is a show, it's a production.
Yeah.
And grab
it's
that
their
mic.
Livelihood.
And hijack it like that. Now, to really put the seriousness of this incident forward, so I think it was 2004 that Dimebag was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dimebag Darrell was the guitarist for Pantera and the guitarist for Damage Plan. Now, here's what happened.
Last December, heavy metal band Damage Plan took the stage at the El Rosa Villa. During their first set, more than 200 anxious fans packed the concert hall to hear the group and one of the country's most known guitarists, Dimebag Darrell Abbott, play. But just a few minutes into their first song, trouble broke out. You can see shooter Nathan Gale in a black jacket and baseball cap charging on a stage and pulling out a gun. He was headed straight for Dimebag Darrell, the band's lead guitarist. The crowd, shocked, unbelievably didn't move. Someone on stage cried for help.
Call 911, somebody!
While Dimebag Darrell lays on stage with band members, even fans trying to resuscitate him, there's chaos. Police.
Now, that man had to get buried in a closed casket because he was shot in the fucking head. So that changed things not only for music, but that changed things for performers everywhere because that didn't that didn't happen before. Like, you remember when, like I said, the dad bod thing? Dad bod wasn't a term until it was sort of introduced to the collective consciousness. Now everyone's sort of aware of that. It used to be okay for people to be up on stage, especially during, it was never a big deal.
You wouldn't think there was much risk inherent with it.
No, not at all. But now, things are different since that has since that happened, since that shooting.
Look, go back down a little bit. and there was a headline there. Little bit further. Dimebag Darrell's assassination aftermath. PTSD haunts hero cop who stopped onstage killer. Like, these is just the residual effect.
Yeah.
You know, even beyond just the brutal slaying of somebody.
Yeah. So the cop went in there a few minutes afterwards and, took the shooter out.
Yeah.
But that's it. This is all changed since that moment. So you can't just take a stage. Now, there was another story just when I was looking for that video. Voice singer shot dead after concert. Christina Grimmie?
Yeah.
Who starred in NBC's The Voice, died early Saturday after a gunman shot her following a concert. But we've got Brazilian rapper shot dead during live performance. Yeah. Like,
and especially in a time where people are so violent based on political issues.
Yeah.
If that political issue upset him enough to storm up to the fucking microphone and interfere and invade, what's stopping somebody getting that angry but shooting somebody?
Yeah, I don't know what to say past that point. Like, it's unfucking believable to me.
Yeah.
Now, Lewis put out a message afterwards.
Yep.
And said, last night during a taping of Legion of Skanks, a man, I believe to be an open mic comedian, approached the table and took the microphone out of our guest's hand to interrupt our show and let us know that we are racist because there was a spectator in the crowd wearing a Proud Boys hat. At that point, I did what any other hot-tempered Puerto Rican would have done and chased him out of the room like the bitch that he was. We are now being labelled as Nazis by some comics on Facebook. Yes, two Jews and a Puerto Rican are Nazis. You dumb fucks. Not only that, we had Danny Tamborelli on as our guest, a fucking ginger. Gingers are more gross than Jews and Puerto Ricans combined. Comedy is dead. I say we go out with a bang.
Tremendous.
Yeah, that's funny.
This might be the last breed.
Comedy is dead. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Until the cycle somehow starts again.
Well, that's it. No, comedy, it'll just start up in another way, which I think this is what we're doing here because you can't be doing comedy on stage anymore. That's it.
You can't be doing comedy fucking upstairs from the stage.
Yeah, because it needs to conform to their things. Now, what this guy says.
Before we move on from the white supremacy jokes.
Before we move on from the white supremacy jokes. Now, what is the. So hang on. You can't joke about white supremacy?
Mm-hmm.
See, now, if what they were doing was actually like dangerous and. Why would you feel so comfortable to go up there and take the microphone and interrupt it?
Yeah.
If it was really... have you seen the film Green Room?
Oh, I don't think so.
It's... that's actually a good thing because I can explain it to you as if you're the audience.
Sure.
That little, see, look, we're switched on. We're smart blokes. We use words like misandry. We're fucking smart blokes.
Very intelligent, high IQ. We've had it measured. They were high. They were fucking
up. Won't say how high.
I wouldn't want to.
No, we won't say which institution we use.
I wouldn't want to come across as arrogant, but let's just say it's like measuring from the base of your asshole.
You mean cock measure? Yeah. The movie is like a punk band, struggling punk band touring around in modern era too. And they get a gig at like a little bar like outside of the town, and it's a skinhead bar. And they're just like, this is fucking bizarre. And so they're doing their set, and then the last song they play is Nazi Punk's Fuck Off. You know, classic punk tune. And obviously it upsets them a lot and whatever, and then they end up getting trapped in there and it's a whole thing of getting out.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
Okay.
But that's an interesting. It's a good movie. They the star of it died from getting pinned to his wall by a Jeep with faulty brakes. So the like young guy who played I can't remember the young guy who played the navigator in Star Trek, the new Star Trek movies. Yeah, that kid. Yeah, that's how he died.
Really?
Yeah. How fucked up is
actually
that?
Actually, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Fuck, I reckon that's how I'll die. just something completely stupid. Thinking I'm not about to die and just go, fuck, I'm in trouble here, and die. I think
that's how it's going to end. Me too. I'm just going, I kind of hope I do. Just something real stupid.
Yeah.
And I want people to laugh at it. I want people to go, fuck, I didn't see that coming, that poor cunt.
Like Mama Cass choking on a sandwich. Oh, I guess some people may have. I mean, that was.
That's likely.
Was shorter odds than you or
I. When you consider the amount of sandwiches consumed.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, anyway. So. We've got, white supremacy jokes. So they did the Nazi punks fuck off thing and they ended up in that situation. So obviously they were a little bit threatened and they knew the risk and they did it anyway. I think this guy thought that was one of his moment, but they're not Nazis. We're done with the white supremacy jokes. What do you mean? Like you're a comedian. You want to be a comedian yourself. Oh, okay. But you can't joke about that thing.
Yeah.
Or joke about it from that perspective. They have a joke on there, they call it Hate Speech the Bear, where it's the recording from, the movie American History X?
Yeah, yeah.
The fat guy, the guy who played the brother in Everybody, what's his name? No, My Name is Earl.
Yeah,
the fat brother
fat
from that.
Fat blonde dude.
He's a, white supremacist guy, and he's singing some racist song. Mm. And they've put it on from this bear because they're like, what's a funny... Because what can you do with that that's funny? All right, you put it attached to something cute.
Mm.
That's a very simple way to get a joke.
A bit of contrast.
Yeah, that's it. Not saying that it's amazing, but it's not too bad. So now you just can't joke around about that, but you've got to be able to respect that we are different, that there are people who have different ideas. And so most people... have an idea of something that they're uncomfortable with joking about. So do you adhere to? Do you adhere to the people who are against white supremacy jokes? Do you adhere to the people who don't like rape jokes? Do you adhere to the people who don't like black jokes? The people who don't like jokes about the disabled? Then you start having to adhere to all of them. So it's like it's an all or none sort of thing. Or do you just have to go, a joke is a joke? Like,
yeah,
we just need to leave it at that. Just have respect for people as individuals.
Let it wash over you for a second, then just
move on.
Move on, yeah. Forget about it. It's the impermanence of it is what is good about it.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hell yeah!
Fucking thank you, Stav.
Stav, what do you reckon about white supremacy?
Hell yeah!
Yeah, he fucking loves it. I knew you did, you fat little cunt.
You ugly cunt.
I am still just in shock at this whole thing. Like, that's...
No wonder he blew up. Yeah. No wonder Lewis blew up.
Yeah, that's...
You just imagine someone coming in here and doing that.
Yeah. Now, there you go. And apparently, this is all... There's like an underground little thing. Everyone wanted to be a comedian. And what embarrasses me the most is that I was potentially part of that wave.
Yeah.
And it's made me go...
We both thought about it.
Oh, yeah. We were in. We were going to move to Melbourne and be comedians. But imagine the impact
the next
we would
American
have had.
Rosso. Can you imagine?
Imagine the impact we would have had though if we went in there and people are like, "Oh, we follow some comedians from Melbourne." I saw one the other day retweeting stuff about identity politics and cis males not being able to weigh in on things. I'm just going, "What the fuck is it? Like? All you do is tweet about your depression and how much you're struggling."
Yeah.
And then you're going, oh, no, but cis white males, you're all the problem, all this sort of stuff. You need to sort something out. It's all complaints and you're not finding any solutions.
Yeah, exactly. And you're certainly not getting any on Twitter.
No. Oh.
Even though you're searching for them on Twitter.
Grow up. But, yeah, so apparently there's this underground little thing of wannabe comedians in New York and they've pulled the kibosh on a few people for things like this. And yeah, they've turned on the guys from the Skanks going, oh, no, they're Nazis and racist. Well, like that's what Lewis said in his note there.
Yeah, they're getting messages and accusations.
And that's, you just go, what the, why do it? Why would you do it when you just got to go, oh, no, well, you're a Nazi, no fucking good. All right, well, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. This
is why we are doing it by ourselves. This is why we are doing it totally separate. We want nothing to do with anyone in comedy, in entertainment, in TV, any of them.
No, in the industry. We're outside the industry.
Yes, and it's the best place to be because it's 2018 and we have reasonably fast internet.
We want to get everybody else outside the industry.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. We
in the periphery.
Oh, yeah. We want looking in and laughing. Well, I think everyone is secretly, but they're just not connected yet.
Yeah. They're not as, they're enjoying about 10% of it. Mm. They're not enjoying it fully.
And that's why using our knowledge of how these things work and exposing it is going to be, it's going to be the, what we do for the foreseeable future. Mm. But, you know, that's it. We've got to change. You've got to move things on.
That's what we're on now.
And you, we, at the same time, I've got to acknowledge, I don't blame them for half of that shit because, you know, if you've got a show that's a few million dollars a season and you've got 20 people employed on it, you've got to keep all those people employed. They've got families, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
So let's keep this shit small. Let's when it's, if it's just us, we've got nothing to lose. We don't have to do anything.
Not anyone relying on it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Not even you, Stav.
Hell yeah.
You fucking fat cunt. Oh, beautiful. It's a beautiful life. But that's it. I don't think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of those people anyway, you know, those people, shit comedians, I mean, are actually having fun or enjoying themselves because they're closing, they're not allowing growth or things to be wrong. Like, why can't you go, well, I don't find this funny, but fuck, I might find it funny in a few years.
Yeah.
I never found Eddie Murphy funny except for about a little period of time. I mean, his stand-up.
Yeah.
A little period of time about 3 or 4 years ago. I found it funny then and now I don't find it funny anymore. There's a pattern there. It grows. You can't just go, nah, no good. This is not allowed.
Same thing happened with Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, found him very funny. And now he's just...
unbearable.
Yep.
It's, not funny. The cardinal sin, just not funny anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make me laugh.
Preachy, telling me what to think, how much of an idiot I am. But at the same time, talking about how good he is when I'm just going to fucking say it on the show. He cheats on his fucking wife. He talks about what a fucking good dude he is. And there are, I've heard the rumors. I've heard, I'll say third hand information. Mm-hmm. A person who knows a person who like banged him on a tour last year.
Yeah.
Like in America. And I was like, well, fuck this dude. He's there doing his shitty Tonight Show style. That's now, I will say, in the interest of fairness, Alcoholicos is one of the funniest stand-up specials I've ever seen. It might be the last good one.
Yeah.
But it's
definitely from Australia.
Yeah, yeah. But fuck, what the fuck is he doing? Tonight Show style? Nah. That has not been a good... That format has not been funny in 30 years.
And I think the worst part is he's telling you how to think, but he's not telling you anything that nobody else, that everybody else has told you. You know?
Or just reiterating the same points. Yeah, we know. You're anti-gun. We know.
Mm. You're anti-Nazi. We know.
Yes.
Most of us are.
Yeah, we're not. Nobody's walking around pro-Nazi. There's like 30 people who are fucking pro-Nazi.
And they might be dangerous. They might be scary men, but
what are you gonna? What are you gonna do? If you really want to do something other than comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it makes no sense to me.
Those comedians are just thinking about what they can't write about and talk about.
Yes,
straight up. So imagine just sitting down to create in what you want to do, and the first things you're thinking about is just what side you want to be on, what you can't talk about, what you expected to sort of be on the pulse with.
That's not a mindset to get something unique and original happening.
No.
You can't be restricting yourself and implementing rules like that. It's insane. Somebody's got to be held accountable for this. There's got to be an investigation.
And there will be.
Adam and Milk investigates. All right, so we've talked about rugby league a lot. And... this is why.
You know what? This might be a good time for me to go and...
go for it.
Beautiful.
Yep. Now, we talked about rugby league to introduce you... because I love the sport. I think it's one of the most interesting things to see these teams work together, the ability to read a play in motion, it's phenomenal. Especially when you've got such a vast, can't think of the term, from the bottom, like if you got the average IQ from the bottom to the top, like there'd be a huge divide there between those two in the same team, I mean, too. Was now Willie Mason, renowned knucklehead, very tall, was a good player for a while, I guess. I don't know. For some reason, they thought it was a good idea to put a microphone on him.
In the middle.
Lenore scores Newcastle's first try.
All right, you're just warming up.
I want it.
Waddell for Mason.
See, now, I assume that you'd mic players up who are playmakers, who are, you know, the guys who are really sort of steering what's going on. So let's say that somebody scores a try from 20 metres out on the fourth tackle. I want to hear what the halfback has said to the centre before they've done that and they've taken it out to that side. Like, I want to know that sort of thing. I don't really need to hear this.
Mullen dummies and runs. Jared Mullen scores.
Chances.
He plays short pass in the middle third. Okay, working well.
What was that, Benji?
That was under.
Dugan.
Oh, Dugan. What are you doing, you... Like, he needs some front rollers, you cats. He needs some decent front rollers.
Wait a sec. So they beeped
out Dugan, your dog. That's what he calls him a dog. What are you doing, Dugan, your dog?
Was that it? I thought they called him a cunt, and they kept cunting.
So they beep out dog, and then 3 seconds later, you need some front rollers, you cunts.
Fantastic.
So speak to Mary. Hey, where are they? I can't see shit.
What a way for Tamana to say goodbye.
Hey, it's gone past 20 minutes. I'm in overtime.
In 20 minutes on the field.
he's asking for extra.
And you know, he's a 20-minute player. 80-minute game of football that he's going on for 20 minutes, and he's more than happy with that. Fucking big, lazy cunt.
No, long neck. I'm overtime.
Long neck.
Wayne Bennett.
Stanley. Exchange words.
Hey, push me.
A disruption in back play there. Punches raining down. Josh Dugan threw a couple.
You got a good another 10 years of this, Dugs. Stop it. Fire up, Benji. Come on, man.
That's him sitting down on the sideline giving shit to the other team.
He's not on the bench. He's about half a foot off the sideline.
And sitting down, he'd be my height tall.
Yeah.
Too fancy for ya. Coach paying me 20 minutes all year. I'm a 25-minute man, plus. I want a couple more zeros on my contract next year when I'm going in.
That's contradictory. I like it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, you got skill, son.
Kurt Gidley out to make the difference 20.
I get these at training pretty much 9 times out of 10.
Now, that's a sideline kick. Now, for those unfamiliar, after the ball has been placed in the in-goal area and a try has been scored, a conversion kick is then taken, and that is from that place and then back out in the field. So if it was near the sideline, they then march it out sort of as – I think they get a choice of how far.
Between 20 and 30, I think, when it's on the sideline.
Yep. Yeah, how far they've got to march out. And then so the goalposts are in the middle of the field, so you've got to take that kick. Now, he is pretty well on the sideline.
Yeah.
And just this fucking big idiot saying he makes these kicks constantly.
Out to make the difference 20.
I get these at training pretty much 9 times out of 10.
Lifting the flags.
You've been watching me skip. You've been watching me technique.
Wouldn't imagine so, Willie.
See, immediately. This is way funnier than any shitty open mic comedian.
Yeah, exactly. This is someone who's just on the ball, watching what's happening around him and reacting.
Yeah,
and that's moving funny. On. If it's not funny, you move on.
There's three layers to what he's saying there when he's talking about him making those, like, because he knows his shit. He knows he's a big idiot and he can't kick and he's not doing it.
And he's a battering ram.
And he's fucking giving, he's talking to his skipper, talking to the captain of his team about that kick and how he's, you've been watching my technique. That's fucking.
We're calling him Skids. His name's Kurt Gidley. Been watching my technique, Skids.
So I thought it was Skip. My bad.
Oh, he is the captain, though. And he was a renowned goal kicker.
Yeah. Gidley.
To get his second.
How easy does he score tries, Samana? We have to work our asses off for that.
Talking second to the cameraman there.
Two tries. Hey, Dorf, two tries, T, and you got none. Get me back on, I'm freezing. I'm cold, I just want to go on because I'm cold. Just tell Wayne that.
Gagai is claiming a try, so too Bo Scott. It's a try, all right.
Now, I kick there 9 times out of 10.
From the western sideline. This one across the face.
Try and get your head over the ball, kids.
Now, that statement there, that is number one technique. Anyone who is a goal kicker, anyone who's practiced it or been taught how to kick knows you got to get your head over the ball, otherwise you don't get any power. So him saying, try and get your head over the ball, Gids, when he's just missed a goal is the least helpful thing you could possibly say. That's elementary insight.
It's like if I was washing up earlier. If Adam walked in and just said, washing up, are you, Milk? Mm-hmm. Yep. Fucking, what do you think? Got to remember to use hot water in that.
Yeah.
All exactly. Right, I can't.
Fuck Make it sure out. You get a bit of suds in the water too, mate. Otherwise, it'll just stick.
Doing everything today. Oh, right, the rib cage.
What happened? Rib shot?
Yeah, ribs.
Is that T? He scored more tries than me. He's played one game this year. Tell Wayne I'm going to get pneumonia.
And he urges his troops to come down and form the scrum.
Thanks for kicking it out. You do that all the time.
Reset.
Man. Who the f*** is swinging that? What's like that? How's that on a penalty? Like,
big man got picked up.
Well, that was big slam. Come on, that was good back slam.
He gets the ball away. Rocco goes long. Sione Matatia. Double for the 18-year-old.
If I don't get a three-year deal after this.
Cuthbertson. He didn't, did he?
I wouldn't imagine so. Went and play for a year somewhere else.
What's the plans, man? Monday, what is it? Things close at 12 o'clock here. How much do you bench? I reckon you bench more than me. Easily. Hey, boys.
It's not good.
Nice boys. Hey, big boy. Good to see you back, man.
Thanks, bro. Cheers, man.
Good work, man. Hey, Bill. Thanks, well done, brother.
Hey,
bro. That's a good head. If that was last year, you would have been lifted off.
I'm talking about a hit he's put on dudes, I suppose.
Oh, that's fucking funny. See, now that was just indulgence on out for us. That's funny.
But it's very enjoyable. It's something about someone who knows what they are, accepts it, makes jokes about it.
He'd kill a room quicker than I could, I think, of just strangers. He'd fucking make them laugh way
more.
Yeah.
Just that charisma.
Hilarious.
Relaxed.
See, now that's it. We've shown a little bit of a counter.
Have a scope,
yeah,
of these things.
All right. So, anyway, thanks. We're going to go watch
the State of Origin
game three. So, thanks for listening.
With the great Terry Campese at 5'8". No? Oh, damn.
The fuck? You've had too many beers already, you fucking psychopath.